Candida serves two purposes. One, it serves to constantly stimulate your intestinal immunity to be on its guard. The second purpose it has is when your body dies, Candida decomposes your body. You could talk to a hillbilly in the mountains of Ozark and talk to him about brewing moonshine, and he probably knows more about Candida than some of these people on YouTube talking about their Candida diets.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing the tactics lying herein. So friends, are you ready to join me? Let's do this. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. Friends, I am so excited about today's conversation. I can't believe I have done hundreds and hundreds of episodes and have not had an entire conversation dedicated to Candida. And before I tell you more details, quick note, little bit of a sad news. I accidentally didn't record the first couple minutes of this interview, so I'm going to tell you what you missed there. I cannot recommend Dr. Michael Biamonte's incredible book, The Candida Chronicles, enough. It finally answers all the questions I have had for so long about this organism. Because yes, I've been there, and there are a lot of Candida myths out there, especially when it comes to things like Candida diets. You're going to learn why that is and how you can actually combat Candida overgrowth if it's a problem for you. We talk about so many things in this episode, including the uber importance of rotating antifungals, why you need to implement a very specific order of phases when it comes to combating Candida, which is not just about Candida, it's also about things like parasites, mold, heavy metals. We also talk about some shocking things you might not know, like how antioxidants and vitamins can actually feed Candida, the difference between supplements versus pharmaceuticals in your anti-Candida journey, what it means if you get a vaginal yeast infection, and so much more. As for what you missed in the first few minutes, I'm very sad because it was truly riveting and fascinating. Dr. Biamonte told the story of how he became a Candida expert, and long story short, what you missed is that he started working with a partner to co-create biocybernetics. And this was like way back, I think, in the 80s. And the guy that he partnered with, who was developing it, was actually working on it for the aerospace program because it's basically computer software that looks at your blood work, mineral tests, and other lab tests to determine imbalances in the body. So they were creating this for NASA in order to monitor the nutrients of the astronauts. So he was working on that software, and then he realized that there was about 30% of people who had these really unusual results, and he realized the common thread was Candida. I'm pretty sure that's everything you guys missed. So when this episode starts, it will be picking up with him talking about that story. But that's basically the beginning that was sadly lost. The show notes for today's episode will be at melanieavalon.com/candida. Those show notes will have a full transcript as well as links to everything that we talked about. So definitely check that out. I can't wait to hear what you guys think. Definitely let me know in my Facebook group, IF Biohackers. Intermittent fasting plus real foods plus life. Comment something you learned or something that resonated with you on the pinned post to enter to win something that I love. And then check out my Instagram, find the Friday announcement post, and again, comment there to enter to win something that I love. Hi friends. Did you know that one of our largest sources of toxic exposure each and every day is through our skincare and makeup? It is so frightening the effects these compounds can have on our health. So we put these products on to help us look better, and yet they actually can be aging us, contributing to health issues, fertility issues, thyroid issues, mood issues, and ready for something potentially even more shocking? A lot of these endocrine disruptors are actually obesogens, meaning they cause your body to gain weight and make it harder to lose weight. That's right, your skincare and makeup may be hindering your weight loss goals. Europe has banned thousands of these compounds, and the US has banned around a dozen. There's even a loophole from the 1960s that allows companies to put whatever they want in their products, and they don't even have to tell you. That's why I am overwhelmingly careful about the skincare and makeup that I use. But here's the thing, it can be hard to find skincare and makeup that is non-toxic and actually works. And then on top of that, that actually has all the products you need. I have found two companies, I am obsessed with their standards and use them every single day of my life and cannot recommend them enough. That's Counter, formerly known as Beauty Counter, and Crunchy. Both of these companies have incredible standards when it comes to what they put in their products. You can truly feel good about using them, and they actually work. For Counter products, go to melanieavalon.com/counter. And for Crunchy products, go to crunchy.com. That's crunchy.com/melanieavalon. New Crunchy customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. You'll also receive something special from me after your first order. I also highly recommend joining both of their loyalty programs. It's completely free to join, and with every purchase, you'll earn credit as well as other fun goodies. For all the latest updates, new products, specials, deals, and fun things for me, because yes, I love giving things away, get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. You can also get text updates when you text skincare to 877-861-8318. That's skincare to 877-861-8318. So again, to shop with me and get a free gift from me after your first order, go to melanieavalon.com/counter and also crunchy.com/melanieavalon. And new customers use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 at Crunchy to get 10% off site-wide. And again, definitely join their free loyalty programs to earn credit on every order. Hi friends, exciting news. My Avalon X Spirulina is back in stock and now at a reduced price. Plus you get free shipping and my coupon code works on top of that sale price. Spirulina is honestly one of the most nutrient-dense things that you can put in your body in a whole foods, easy to eat form. It's a blue-green algae, which is a complete vegan protein packed with an incredible array of nutrients. We are talking 100% of your daily hard-to-get vitamin K, 625% of vitamin B12, over 1,000% of vitamin A, 86% of chromium, 27% of vitamin B2, plus so much more, including iron, GLA, the powerful antioxidant superoxide dismutase, and even glutathione. In fact, spirulina is so uniquely nutritious that it was actually studied by NASA to support the astronauts. I searched high and low to find the very best spirulina out there. Ours comes from a wonderful, sustainable, clean, environmentally friendly production facility in Hawaii, not Thailand, Hawaii. And then on top of that, we did our own third-party testing for over 70 pesticides, heavy metals, toxins, all the things. This is the cleanest spirulina out there. And with spirulina, you can simplify your supplement routine and support your nutrition in one easy step. The tablets are super versatile. You can swallow them whole, blend them into smoothies, crush them up, or honestly, just eat them like I do. And again, we were out of stock, but now Avalon X Spirulina is finally back in stock at a reduced price, and my coupon code MelanieAvalon works on top of that too. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to avalonx.us/spirulina and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off our new reduced price plus free shipping. That's avalonx.us/spirulina with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. All right, I think that's all the things. As a brief reminder, this episode is going to start kind of abruptly because I accidentally did not record the first few minutes. So I recapped those earlier in this intro. You can rewind and listen to that if you missed that. And now without further ado, please enjoy this fascinating conversation with Dr. Michael Biamonte.
So the only thing I knew to do at the time was to refer these people to some doctors who I knew had an idea, knew about this. And the only two doctors I knew at that time were Dr. Robert Atkins, whose office in Manhattan was close to mine, and then Dr. Ronald Hoffman. They were probably the first two functional doctors in history. So my patients went to Dr. Hoffman, Dr. Atkins. They got Dr. Atkins to autograph his book. And they told me, well, you know, this was much better because they knew what you were talking about. They said you were right. And they put me on this drug, Nystatin, and they gave me a diet. And I felt better for a few months. And then everything came back. It just returned. And regardless of what they did, I couldn't get rid of it. So I said, I'm going to have to figure this out. So what I started doing is getting all these patients with candida. And I sat them down. I interviewed them. I got all their symptoms. I looked at all their labs. And I started reverse engineering everything that was going on with them. And luckily, I got a couple of really good textbooks on candida and mycology, which is the study of fungus. And I studied these and I looked at what the patients were doing, and I eventually had a clue as to how to treat this. And I started looking at all the treatments that they had been through with other doctors and what all the other doctors were doing and what the vitamin companies were telling me I should give the patients. So I immediately knew that was all wrong because it wasn't working. So I got a hold of this fellow who was an Oriental medical doctor who had written a book called The Holistic Protocol for the Immune System. And we then started corresponding and we became friendly. And he gave me this concept where you had to rotate antifungals because Candida was very sensitive and it would easily become mutative and it would mutate against whatever the drug was or the herb. And that was the first major breakthrough that I had because that made sense. And when I applied it, it worked. So what I started doing was giving people like four different antifungals, had them take the four different antifungals 4 days each. They would rotate them every 4 days. And before you know it, their candida levels dropped and were stable. And I kept going on like this and kept taking other datums, like probiotics was the next datum I had. So I got a hold of a fellow, you probably never heard of him. His name is Steve Barry. And he was the head person that time at Great Smokies Laboratories, who you probably also never heard of. So Great Smokies Laboratories now today is Genova Laboratory. They evolved into a much bigger outfit. But at that time, they were just starting out. It was when they were just starting, and they were nice enough to allow me to work with their head of science in the lab. And they allowed me to do free stool tests on my patients in order to see how they would respond to probiotics and antifungals. And the first thing I found out was that Candida wouldn't always show in the stool test, but what would show would be a pattern of certain pathogenic bacteria like Klebsiella and Citrobacter. And you would also see very low levels of friendly bacteria. And when I gave these people the rotated antifungals, all of a sudden the probiotics started to rise on the test, even though I wasn't giving them any. I also found out in working with them that when I gave the patient probiotics, the probiotics would not really stick very well and you wouldn't see them come up on the test, and especially with bifidus bacteria. So from this, I learned that you've heard the term remove, replace. That's where this all started. So I determined at that time that in order for this to work, you have to first remove the candida before you give them the probiotic. And I also found out that bifidus bacteria at the time was not surviving the oral trip down to the colon. So what I started doing is having people take bifidus bacteria and implanting it directly in their colon, and then it would show up on the test. So I went through about 15 years of this type of research with the patients, constantly reverse engineering and assuming that whatever they were doing was wrong and coming up with alternative ways that actually worked, that I could prove were working based on the tests. And that's eventually how I wrote my book, The Candida Chronicles. And the reason I call it The Candida Chronicles is because it really chronicled my journey in learning about Candida, which became kind of like the mountaintop to me. It's like to handle this, because it has so many tricks it plays, and there's so many different things to know about it. Like, for instance, another clinical pearl that I learned was that if you give your patients antioxidant vitamins while you're treating them for candida, you're negating the whole treatment, because the antioxidants, see, most antifungals are really classified as chemotherapy, and anything that's chemotherapeutic works by creating oxidative stress on the membrane of either a cancer cell or the microbial cell. So if you're flooding the person with antioxidants, you stop that and you're now inhibiting the action of the antifungal. So I learned that not to give people vitamins while they were on a candida treatment, or especially antioxidants. Then I also learned that there was a group of nutrients that actually fed the candida and made it worse. And I was shocked when I found out what nutrients that they were, because it wasn't what you would expect. It was things like vitamin D, things like coenzyme Q10, copper as an iron, and many candida patients are anemic. So there's a desire to give them iron because their iron levels are low. They're low in their tissues. Their red blood count can be down. But the problem is the candida is absorbing the iron. As a matter of fact, one of the ways nystatin, the very popular antifungal drug works is by blocking the candida's uptake of iron. So now if you have a drug that's going to work to kill something by stopping its ability to get a nutrient, would it make any sense at all to give that person that nutrient while you're trying to treat them? No, of course not. So this went on for quite some time, as I was saying, until I got this whole protocol together and I got all the axioms and logics of it together enough to get it in a book form where it would make sense.
Wow. So many things. Okay, I think listeners can see now why I'm obsessed with all of this. Yeah, the section in the book that talks about, you know, the different nutrients and things that you can take that either, you know, feed candida or are neutral or protective was really mind-blowing. I was like, this makes me rethink everything I'm doing. Quick question. So that software, the BioCybernetics, did they end up using that for astronauts?
To be honest with you, what happened was we ended up spending so much money on the project that they dropped it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they ended up dropping it and they told us to keep the software. Well, it was true. We were flying nutritionists in from all over the world, putting them up in hotels, and we just really exceeded the budget. So unfortunately, but the software still exists and it's being used by doctors privately.
So like the knowledge that's in that software, and you mentioned like it kind of being foreshadowing AI and such, like if you were to use AI today, could you just give it your blood work and ask it questions and it would give similar answers to what that software was accomplishing?
Yes, it actually, I've tried that out of curiosity, and that is what will happen. The only thing about it is there is some of the interpretation of the blood work was done by some doctors. One particularly very interesting fellow named Ken Brockman, who was a chiropractor back then, and he was the guru of this alternative blood interpretation. He was followed by a fellow named Jim Seema, who is still on the internet now and who's still pretty prevalent. And these fellows have a very expansive viewpoint on the interpretation. Like they'll look at a blood chemistry, let's say, for instance, alkaline phosphatase. They don't look at alkaline phosphatase in the same way that most doctors would. Like if it suddenly goes high, you might have broken a bone, or if the enzyme is high, you may have cancer or something. They look at it from the viewpoint of what activates the enzyme. So alkaline phosphatase is a zinc-activated enzyme, and it's very heavily tied to your adrenal function. So when they look at alkaline phosphatase, they're actually looking at a measurement of your adrenal function. The same thing would be true as another example of BUN, blood urea nitrogen. Blood urea nitrogen is formed in your liver, but it's formed in your liver at the command of your anterior pituitary gland. So when they look at it, BUN, they're not looking at your kidney function the way most doctors would. They're thinking in terms of your anterior pituitary. So it's a whole different scope of interpretation. And some of that data you're not going to find in the AI that's available today, because it's not that broadly known, is what I would have to say.
Wow, fascinating. I love that you, it's like I would have been like a kid in the candy shop. Like you got the software, you got the stool testing for free, like getting to do all this stuff.
Marty Feldman from Great Smokies Labs was very, very, very gracious in helping. I have to really acknowledge him, because if it wasn't for his foresight, and because he knew, he said, you know, you're on the break of something because you're getting all this data together and you're organizing it well. He says, you're really going to find out what the deal is here with this. So he says, I have no choice but to let your patients do these tests. It's totally no charge, he said, because I want to see what you come up with.
So here's a foundational question, and you've danced a lot around it. So you're mentioning how candida is so multifaceted and it shows up in all these different ways. And even in your protocol, which, you know, we can talk about later, but you have multi-phases, and in some phases you address parasites, and in some phases you address heavy metals, and it's all, you know, there's all these different components. And then even when you're talking about how the probiotic or the bacteria composition changes based on the situation with the candida, because there are a lot of people out there who think like everything is mold or everything is parasites or everything is heavy metals.
It's sequence. It's sequence is the key, because if you do the wrong sequence, you make the person worse. I'll give you an example. There's a very well-known alternative doctor who's in the Midwest. I'm not going to say his name. I got so many of his patients come to me because he absolutely, it's his religion that candida is caused by mercury. And if you're a candida patient and you go to him, he tests you for mercury, and the first thing he's going to tell you is the candida will never go away until I get this mercury out of you. So he starts chelating the patient. Well, what happens is the mercury comes out of the person's tissues, it reenters their bloodstream, it goes to the liver, it gets sequestered in the bile goes into your colon, and now you're supposed to poop the mercury out, but there's the candida sitting right there in your intestinal tract. So the candida ends up getting dumped with this huge load of mercury. And so naturally what happens, the candida flares up. And 9 out of 10 patients who came to me from this doctor, they couldn't do his protocol because it made their candida so much worse, they just couldn't deal with it. So that was another piece to the puzzle in terms of understanding how you deal with these things. The other issue is that when you don't have proper bifidus bacteria in your colon, your body can't detoxify properly. The bifidus bacteria interacts with phase 1 and phase 2 in your detox pathways to help your body clear things out. So naturally then, the correct time to address toxic metals is after you've reduced the candida and after you've gotten your flora back in some kind of semblance so that your detoxification pathways work better.
So is the key that, because again, going back to this idea where people are in the incorrect sequence, often addressing these other things, is the key that, like, mercury, not everybody technically, you know, not everybody has mercury overload. Parasites, I mean, I'm sure most of us have parasites, but it's not necessarily problematic in everybody. Is the key that candida is a natural part of our flora anyway, so it's always there, so there's always the potential for it to flare up?
100%. It's a normal part of your biome. The candida serves two purposes. One, it serves to constantly stimulate your intestinal immunity to be on its guard. The second purpose it has is when your body dies, candida decomposes your body. Embalming fluid is nothing more than a major shot of antifungal.
Whoa, that's fascinating.
Those are the two purposes of candida.
Okay.
So sequence is everything in handling it, because as I said, if you do something wrong, you get candida patient comes to you, he says, oh, I'm so deficient in all these vitamins. You test him, you find out, yeah, he has a heart problem. This guy needs a lot of CoQ10. I need to give him DHEA also to strengthen his muscles, especially his heart muscle. You go through all of this, you give him all these vitamins and he feels worse. Why does he feel worse? Because all these vitamins are feeding his candida, making his candida worse. So to make a long story short, give you a synopsis, the proper sequence is, first thing you do with the candida patient is you give him a mild bowel cleanse that's going to be able to get rid of the top layers of harmful bacteria, of candida, and especially parasites, because parasites will ignite candida. A person will get candida just by having parasites. He's automatically going to have it because the parasites release lots of ammonia in your intestine, and the ammonia kills your friendly bacteria. So there's really no difference in having parasites than someone who takes an antibiotic and gets candida. So you give him this mild bowel cleanse first. Then you put him on the rotation of the antifungals. The first phase of our program, when you're rotating the antifungals, will destroy about 70% of the candida overgrowth in the body. Second step is you put him on special intestinal antifungals, which have the ability to go deep in the intestinal tract and kill the candida really in the deep recesses. Because you see, this is the candida which ends up coming back to a full-blown relapse. And this is also the candida which inhibits the growth of probiotics. It goes back to the old concept of remove first and then replace. So you get rid of that candida that's blocking the probiotics from coming back. Now, once that's done, now you can give the person a probiotic program. You can give them different prebiotics and probiotics. You give them fiber. You give them Saccharomyces. You give them FOS. You give them inulin. You give them Clostridium. You give them all of these different things with the different probiotics, and now you have a chance that the probiotics are actually going to grow back and stick. Okay, that's done. Good. We've handled their biome. Now it's time to look at their toxicity, because chemical and metal toxicity will flare candida up. So if this person has toxicity, you're going to get eventually a relapse of the candida. So now we have to detoxify them. We always pay attention to the toxic metal first, because the toxic metal is what interferes with the body's ability to get rid of the toxic chemical. So we detox the person. Now we look at their deficiencies. So what are they? Very often candida patients are deficient in iron. They're deficient in molybdenum and magnesium, et cetera. So now we correct their deficiencies. Now we look at their hormones. But we looked at their deficiencies first because deficiencies of vitamins and minerals will affect hormones. See, so everything is done in a sequence where what you're doing now is automatically going to make the next step easier. So we get their vitamins and their minerals in a better balance. And now we look at the hormones because hormones can trigger candida problems, especially estrogens will trigger candida. So we get their hormones in a good balance. Okay, now at that point, there's not much left to do with them really if they're pretty nutritionally sound. So at this point, you can now look at their immune status and make sure their immune system is okay. You look at all their white blood counts. You look at their immunoglobulins. You can do a whole major panel on their immune status to make sure everything is okay. Because once in a while, you'll find somebody who's so exhausted from having candida that his thymus gland, his lymphoid tissue is not producing the proper immunoglobulins. And what also can make this worse is most people, when you handle their biome and their candida is gone, the complaints you're going to get from them that are still there is they're going to talk about their energy and their fatigue, which is better, but not fully gone. And that's because candida drains the devil out of your adrenal gland and your thyroid gland. In fact, candida, I will go far as saying candida directly attacks the thyroid gland in many ways. Many people with Hashimoto's have candida problems. The immune system essentially has several parts to it, but one of the major parts to your immune system is your sympathetic nervous system's innervation of the immune system. And a lot of that stems from your adrenal and thyroid function. So if that's why people with chronic fatigue who are so low adrenal are always getting sick. It's because that people don't think of the adrenal glands as being related to your immune system, but they're actually majorly involved with your immune system. So at this point, if you get all this straightened out, the odds of the candida coming back are nil because you've handled just about every aspect of what candida is and why it grows and what keeps it there and how it could relapse.
And did you figure that out from trial and error of trying things in different orders with so many people?
Yes, to a degree, but it was also the more you look into this and the more you research it, the more it becomes apparent. Some things you don't have to do trial and error. Some things are just obvious. Like when you get the person who every time they chelate mercury out of them, their yeast infection explodes. I mean, at that point, you can say, hey, I think we got it, you know?
Do most people have, like, need to do every one of these levels? Or do some people, like, skip through them pretty quickly?
Never had anybody skip a level, but I've had people go through levels faster than others, for sure.
Hi, friends. I am so excited to tell you about something that I am obsessed with that can revolutionize your health, help with stress levels, support longevity, and really help you when you go out and are having a bit of wine or drinks or all the things. And I'm going to tell you how to get $100 off. So I've been talking about the role of NAD in our health for so long. NAD stands for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. It is a coenzyme that is involved in so many processes in our body, including energy production and DNA repair. And it is depleted by things like stress, aging, lack of sleep, alcohol, and of course, too much partying. In fact, a lot of researchers believe that declining NAD levels is one of the key factors in aging. That's why I have been really interested in boosting and supporting NAD levels, and I have tried all the things. You can take precursors to NAD called NR and NMN. I still take NMN. However, I am much more alert by directly giving your body NAD. And historically, the most common way to do that is accessible to people was through NAD IVs and NAD shots. I actually never did an NAD IV for a few reasons. One, they are extraordinarily expensive. Two, I've been doing the shots, which I liked because they were easy to do. That said, they always made me feel a little bit unwell right afterwards. And I've heard that the IV makes a lot of people feel unwell. So if the shots were making me feel unwell and that was going into the muscle first as like a barrier, I can't even imagine what putting it straight into my bloodstream would have done. Plus with the IVs, you have to sit there for potentially hours. So basically IVs were a no-go for me. So like I said, I was doing the shots, but I was like, I wish there was an easier way to do this. Then a company called Ion Layer reached out to me. Oh my goodness, friends, I am so obsessed. So they make transdermal NAD patches. And they have studies showing that these patches actually boost your NAD levels. And what's so amazing is you put on a patch. It's super easy to put on. I have a video on my Instagram about how you do it. You basically get this patch thing with like a negative side and a positive side. You put saline on one side, you mix up the NAD with some sterile water and the NAD that they give you on the other side. Then you stick it to your arm or wherever you want to put it. You put a super cool black patch over it, kind of like how you put the patches over CGMs. And then what's amazing is there are no side effects. You don't feel unwell from it. And it lasts for 14 hours. And it's so easy. You can do it at home and then you can really decide when you want to do it. So with the shots, I was doing them once a week and I was trying to do them before going out. With this patch, now I put on the patch before going out and it makes me feel so good. It really helps the next day from any alcohol recovery that you may need. And they look pretty awesome with my outfits, not gonna lie. I am obsessed with these patches. I just want everybody to know about them and they are so much more affordable than the shots or the IVs. If you want to boost your NAD levels, support anti-aging, help with your stress, help with lack of sleep, and or optimize your partying, you need these patches, friends. And I'm so excited because working with the company has been amazing and they are giving you guys $100 off, which is incredible. So to get that discount, just go to melanieavalon.com/ionlayer. That's Ionlayer, and use the coupon code Melanie Avalon to get $100 off your first order. I cannot recommend these enough. I'm gonna use them for the unforeseeable future, probably for the rest of my life. It's literally just become part of my arsenal now. Like when I'm getting ready to go out, usually once a week, put on my NAD patch. And even if I don't go out that week, I still like to do one once weekly. Oh, P.S. They're also amazing for traveling. You guys know I'm not a big traveler. I've been doing more traveling recently and I wear these on the plane there and back. Game changer. Although it's really fun at TSA, especially because I already opt out and don't go through the scanner thing. So they already are suspicious. And then they're like, what's that on your arm? And I'm like, it's NAD. And then they're like, what's that? And then I'm like, it's a coenzyme in your body that's involved in a lot of metabolic processes and energy production and DNA repair. And then they just look at me really weird, but it's fine. It's totally fine. So again, that's melanieavalon.com/ionlayer to get $100 off your Ion Layer kit. It comes with 6 patches, totally the way to go for boosting NAD levels, and I cannot recommend it enough. MelanieAvalon.com/IonLayer with the coupon code MelanieAvalon for $100 off. Actually, really quick question about the candida. So, because we established that it's a normal part of the flora, it has, you know, important roles, but it is a problem when it's in the overgrowth state. I've also read, and you mentioned this, that there's like, does it transform into a different actually type? Like, what is the difference between the yeast form versus the fungus form and the hyphae? Doesn't it get like little legs or something?
Yes. Candida is like a chameleon. It's technically called a dimorphic organism. Dimorphic means life in two different states. So it's able to live as a yeast and as a fungus. So candida can be in a fungal form or a yeast form. When it's in the fungal form, that's when it's developing more of a plant-like growth. And it can then from there, that's only part one. From there, it then can mutate into other strains of candida. When I was in Manhattan, when we had an office in Manhattan for many, many years. We had a lab in the office for research purposes. And when I was there, people who would come in, we'd get a stool culture from everybody, and we would see what type of candida they had. And what was absolutely amazing is every single patient who came in who had the story of, Dr. Biamonte, you have never seen someone with such bad candida as me. I've been to 10 doctors. I've spent $10,000, blah, 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 blah. All of those people had candida tropicalis. And the people who came in who never heard of candida, they were coming to me because they heard that I was a nutritionist, that I could help them with their arthritis or some story. They all had candida albicans. So right off the bat, all the people who were being treated for candida, either self-treating or treating with other doctors, all had advanced species of candida because they were treated incorrectly so long that they caused the candida to mutate into more advanced species. But the people who didn't know anything about candida, who were never treated, have the original basic species, which is candida albicans.
So that reminds me of something I would often read in the low carbon keto sphere, which and fasting world, which was this concern that if you went on, for example, a low carb diet for a long time or keto diet, that you would just that it would just go dormant and then get worse.
Well, there's a reason for that, is because fasting, for instance, if you went to an extreme, cannot get rid of candida. You cannot get rid of candida by a diet. There's no diet that's going to get rid of candida. There's no amount of fasting that will, because when candida advances and it starts to really evolve in your intestinal tract, it grows roots, just like a plant. And what the roots are looking for is sugar. And these roots will literally break into the tiny blood vessels in your intestinal tract to tap glucose out of your blood vessels. This is one of the ways you develop leaky gut. So if you were to go on a keto diet or a low-carb diet or even fast, your candida would wilt just like a weed, and it would become ineffectual. But the moment you start to eat food again and you give it a little more glucose, it's going to pop right back up like a weed getting water or getting rain. So this is why you cannot get rid of candida by just a diet or a starvation manner. It helps tremendously to starve the candida. It makes it much more amenable to dying when you're starving it. But if you do that as your main treatment, you're never going to get rid of it, because that's not going to kill the root system. To kill the root system, you have to use fatty acid antifungals, things like lauricidin, undecylenic acid, caprylic acid, different forms of butyrate, the new forms of butyric acid. These items can get down into the gut and they can absorb right into your tissues, because they are fatty acids, and they can destroy the candida at the roots. If you don't do that, the candida structure will still remain. And once you start to raise your blood sugar a little and you start to throw more food down your intestinal tract, it's going to be right back where it was.
Okay, to that point, and now I'm getting all the flashbacks of when I was convinced I had candida and all the things I did. And I don't think I went in this correct order at all, but I took all those things you mentioned. And so two questions there. One is, are all of the things people take things like what you just mentioned, which are supplements you can get, or do you also use pharmaceutical antifungals?
No, pharmaceutical antifungals we tried in many different ways. I've had no use for them for a few reasons. Yeah. The major reason, pharmaceutical antifungals are not as powerful as the botanical ones. And the reason why they're not is because they're not broad spectrum enough. They also don't destroy the bacterial dysbiosis or any parasitic dysbiosis. And they tend to be prescribed week after week after week, which automatically violates my rule of rotating antifungals. But it's their limitation in terms of their spectrums. Niastatin, for instance, only really kills fungus and yeast. It's not going to kill Klebsiella, which you'll find with candida very often. Or H. Helicobacter pylori is often found with candida. And when they're together, it makes them very difficult to get rid of. So they're just a complete waste of time. Not to forget the damage, possibly. When you take ketoconazole or any of these types of drugs for long periods of time, they contain warnings in the label, and your doctor is going to want to check your blood to make sure your liver and kidney function is not being destroyed by those drugs. So it's just not worth it. The natural ones you can actually take long enough to get the job done without killing yourself.
My two memories related to that is with the niastatin. It was interesting because at one point I was working with a functional doctor, and I remember he was saying that niastatin was like one of the few pharmaceuticals he thought you could just perpetually be on. Like it was good and benign and just stayed in the GI tract. So why not be on it? That was like his perspective.
He's right from that point. Yes, it is benign in that way. But the problem is he's not looking at mutation.
Right. Okay. And I remember anytime I would be prescribed like fluconazole or something, because it's often like a 3-day dose. And I'm like, I just remember being like, I've been sick for so long. I don't think this is going to like fix me in 3 days. Like, I don't see that happening. So when people, okay, because you mentioned that if people are fasting or starving or keto, that it can go dormant and then it can come back, but it also does weaken it. Like, okay, so the question is, if you are on these antifungals, should you have something that the candida would eat so it wakes up and then you kill it?
No,
Okay, because people talk about that.
No, that's all. That's all hoogie boogie. That's not necessary. That's not how it really works in your gut.
Okay, that's like word on the street sometimes. And then also, you're talking about all these vitamins and nutrients feeding or supporting candida. Is that only if you take them in a supplemental form, or can candida also pull it from food?
No, food usually doesn't cause the problem because the dose is not high enough in food for it to have that huge of an impact. It's more in the supplemental form where you're using something that which compared to food is a megadose. That's where it really becomes outstandingly obvious. That luckily we haven't had that problem with food, because that would be, candida diets are strict enough as it is. If there was a problem where you'd have to eliminate certain foods because of their nutrient content and then interaction with candida, that would make this a nightmare. Luckily, it's not.
Hi, friends. Would you like to have the most epic eating experience? I'm talking eradicate bloating and better absorb your nutrients. If so, you need digestive enzymes. These are one of my most favorite supplements out of everything I take, and I truly cannot imagine my life without them. Digestive enzymes are key to break down your food into usable nutrition and to stop things like bloating, digestive distress, constipation, all the things. That's why I created Avalon X Digest. And you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us. You can also get a subscription and save 15%, which you can pause or cancel at any time. Friends, I worked so hard to create the perfect blend of enzymes for Avalon X Digest. It's a full-spectrum, plant-based enzyme blend with proteases to help you break down protein, amylase for carbs, lipase for fats, cellulase for fiber, and so much more. In fact, there are 13 different types of enzymes in this blend. I cannot tell you how many people have told me that when they take Avalon X Digest, they experience no digestive distress with meals. These are truly game changers. And for any of you guys looking to up your protein intake, Avalon X Digest will help you actually break down and assimilate your protein so you get more protein from your meals. I wanted to create the highest potency enzymes so that you get all of these benefits when you eat with no problematic fillers or ingredients. Avalon X Digest is also tested multiple times for purity and potency, comes in glass bottles, and is truly the best enzymes on the market. And again, you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us. So what is the role of the diet somebody follows during this protocol?
The role of the diet is very simple. It's to reduce the amount of sugar or food energy available to the candida so that it weakens and it's easier to kill using the herbs or whatever the medicine is going to be.
So it could be like low carb, keto.
And when you talked before about diets, there's so many different candida diets. This is true. There are some which are crazy. When you study mycology, basic study of mycology, you learn that fungus, mold, yeasts, all these things, they want carbohydrates. I mean, you could talk to a hillbilly in the mountains of Ozark and talk to him about brewing moonshine, and he probably knows more about candida than some of these people on YouTube talking about their candida diets, because it's a very simple thing. The yeast needs carbohydrate in order to ferment alcohol. It's a very simple chemical process. It's existed as long as this planet's existed. Yeast cells get a hold of starches and sugars, and they ferment those things, and they release alcohol as a byproduct. So a candida diet, the one thing that all of them will have in common, all of the sane ones, they're all low in carbs and sugars. People could argue about specific foods. You'll get some people argue about certain nuts that might have mold and various things. But the one thing that you have to be wary of, if any candida diet where a person's telling you, you could eat all this fruit, and I've seen some of these people on the internet, and you know, sometimes with self-styled nutritionists, and I've been in this field since like about 1982 or something like that. So I've known so many of the original, I've met Carlton Fredericks, Robert Atkins, so many of the original nutritionists. And they can sometimes get a thing in their head, and then most of their work is to prove themselves right, as opposed to just looking at what the facts are. When you see these people on YouTube talking about how you can get rid of candida with a fruitarian diet, you know, I really want to see statistics from them. How many people have actually done this and have been candida free for 5 years or longer? Because you're not going to find it possible. It's crazy. Occasionally a person will do something fluky and it will work for them. And then therefore they think now it should work for everybody. This becomes the problem with diets in general. Is a person who's like, let's say a blood type O and he's a sympathetic dominant, he'll come across the carnivore diet or the paleo diet. He'll do this. He'll feel fantastic. He'll have his high blood pressure go away. He'll have all these things clear up on him. And now he's convinced he's on a crusade. He's convinced this is the diet everybody should do until he comes across the blood type A, who's a parasympathetic dominant. And he tries to give that person his diet, and that person is falling asleep at the wheel. He's developing acne and all kinds of skin problems. Because the problem is you pull science out of it and you get into opinion, and it's almost becoming like a cult. So for everything out there, there is a scientific answer. If you look for the scientific answer, you can map it out and you can see how that answer works or doesn't work for other people. And when I go back to my blood type O person here, when this blood type O person realizes finally that his blood type O diet doesn't work for the blood type A, because before you can know, you have to not know.
You are completely speaking my language. That's the main reason with this show. I like to bring on people of all different perspectives because, like, if I can say one thing, there's not one diet for everybody, because I think we would have found it by now. Like, I really do.
Because can you imagine taking an Eskimo and you bring this Eskimo down to the equator, to the tropics, and you put him on, you put him on this tropical diet, he's not going to know which way is which, because his hundreds of years, this man is up there in the cold having this incredible thermogenesis taking place all the time, eating blubber. And then if you take the opposite, if you take somebody from the equator and you send them up there and you start having him eat blubber and raw fish, that's not going to work out. So people have evolved. And this is not my invention or revelation. All you have to do is pick up Eat Right for Your Blood Type, the book by Dr. Diadamo. Peter Diadamo and his father was one of my teachers in college. Not Peter, but his father. His father is the one who did most of the work. And Peter got the work and he packaged it and he wrote the books. But as I said, it's very simple, because before you can know, you have to not know. You have to look at a field or an endeavor or a subject area and first say, I don't know. Because if you don't say, I don't know, then you can't know. So when the type O person figures out this diet's not working for him, for his type A friends, he can say, well, I don't know what a type A diet person should eat. I don't know what that is, but now I can figure it out, because I know it certainly isn't what I'm doing as a type O. It's got to be something more or less the opposite or very different.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting reading that book, because I actually am type O, and the diet prescribed in there fits me pretty well. But I just thought maybe it was like a genetic correlation with stomach acid production.
That's part of it, but it's your genetics, because you have to look at the whole line of type O's, where they come from. And what they're used to eating and how they evolve. Like your basic understanding is a type O is a carnivore. They originated from Africa and they moved here eventually. And they're more a carnivore diet, more nuts, seeds, vegetables, things like that, not grain. Grain is the big missing link in there. And when you look at blood type A's, they originated in Asia. And that's where farming was huge. So, and if you look at the traditional diets of type A's, type O's, type B's, and now the type AA that we have, it all makes sense. But the A is interesting. The double A is interesting, because that's a very recent genetic.
When did it develop?
I don't remember, but it's relatively recent. It's so recent that it's recent enough where you can't really pin it down to an exact area. Which is interesting. You can do that with A, O, and B. B is Mediterranean type.
Yeah, it's really, really, really interesting to me. Saccharomyces boulardii, people will say, is like a beneficial yeast that combats candida. Is that accurate?
Yeah, Saccharomyces is a yeast. Now, some people have bad reactions to it. It's rare. I happen to come in contact with it in the last couple of years, a few people who really couldn't tolerate it. But that's actually rare. Most people tolerate it fine. And what Saccharomyces essentially does is it crowds around pathogenic organisms, and it basically neutralizes them. But at the same time, it stimulates fecal IgE and IgA. So it's also boosting your immune system at the same time.
Awesome. Okay. And just speaking of the evolution of all of this, since we were talking about that, do you think this has Candida overgrowth historically always been a problem, or is it more a artifact of modern lifestyles?
I will say that there's a parallel that I'm going to draw in this. Someone doesn't have to necessarily draw this parallel, but I'm going to draw it. There's a difference in what happens over time in your environment. An example of this, you have people who have bad genes, let's say, as the Italian people would say in my family. Their genes aren't so great when it comes to detoxifying. Here you have the autistic child. The autistic child, the difference between him and a non-autistic child is the child with autism is a bad detoxifier. And because he's a bad detoxifier, he's more susceptible to environmental toxins and being affected by them. So in this manner, when he's exposed to plastics and estrogens, when he's exposed to mercury, when he's exposed to thimerosal, the fillings, the amalgam fillings in your mouth, which are copper, mercury, zinc alloy, essentially, he doesn't detoxify these things very well. And that affects him then neurologically, where with somebody else, it may not affect them neurologically. They might be able to detoxify these things, or at the very least, they're just not affected by them as well. This is the difference. When you have Candida, Candida is now more prevalent because you have broad-spectrum antibiotics. Before we had broad-spectrum antibiotics, we didn't have so much to worry about Candida because people weren't getting hit with this. So it's similar. There's a parallel. This is why 200 years ago, kids with autism maybe didn't exist the way they do now because they weren't being environmentally challenged. Now, I personally consider myself not really a nutritionist. I consider myself more of a clinical ecologist. I actually think that what I do in my practice and in my practice of healing, I'm more a clinical ecologist than I am anything else, because I'm looking at how environment affects the person. I'm looking at how toxic metals, toxic chemicals, pathogens that they're surrounded with is affecting the person's health.
I was going to say, kind of like a detective.
That's true too, yeah. That was always a joke that we had of, because we weren't going to just give people pills to cover up their symptoms, we had to actually figure out what was really wrong with them.
One more other like random supplement question. Just because I've had historically so many experiences with trying all these different things, on the parasite aspect of things, which I really like that part of the book and talking about, like you talk about the difference between poisoning parasites versus mechanically removing them, you know, physically chopping them up with diatomaceous earth or whatever it may be. Have you ever used Mimosa pudica? The reason I want to ask you about this, I'm dying to know, because it's the one supplement where there's like entire communities online of people taking it and then like posting pictures of things that come out of them. And I as well took it, and it freaked me out so much. like what came out, but then people online will say, no, it's actually not taking anything out. It's just like it's just creating a gelatinous string. And that's what you're seeing. And I'm just curious your thoughts on it, because this question has haunted me for years.
It's a good question. I cannot say that I have done any research or had any type of trial or experiment where I could prove one way or another is true. I do know for a fact that with psyllium, sometimes you've heard the stories for years about how there's the black tire that coats your intestinal tract. Unfortunately, there are some people who've had this type of material build up in their intestines, and when they did colonics, you did get this horrible black stuff come out. But that was a rare, maybe not so rare, but that was not the majority of people. That when we talk nowadays about doing a colonic for the purposes of cleaning out your intestines, we're more referring to cleaning out any old stagnant material and cleaning out the bad biome. Because there's in your intestinal tract, there's about 8 pounds of bacteria that's there. So when you take psyllium husk and you don't have enough water, psyllium actually will become gelatinized and it actually will take the shape of your intestinal lining. And when you poop it out, you actually will get this thing that almost looks like an inner model of your intestines. That is totally true. I can't say that about this product, though. I can't say that I really know. But here's a way to figure this out. When a person has parasites and they're doing a parasite cleanse, there are some key symptoms to look for that would indicate you're actually affecting the parasites. One of them is rectal itching. If anyone out there takes an herb that's purportedly to destroy parasites, you take this herb and you start getting rectal itching, guarantee that means that herb is working on your parasites. If you start grinding your teeth or clenching your teeth in the middle of the night, that's another major symptom of parasites. If you break out with a rash or start itching yourself in the middle of the night, that's another major symptom. So if someone was to take any product and have this kind of reaction, whether they're seeing it, the organisms in their stool or not, it's those particular reactions. Clenching your teeth, grinding your teeth because of how the parasites affect your calcium and magnesium, rectal itching because of how the parasites affect the eosinophils that are in your intestinal tract, where it will cause that itching. These are the key symptoms. And then just rashes in general.
Okay. Hi, friends. Would you like to have the most epic eating experience? I'm talking eradicate bloating and better absorb your nutrients. If so, you need digestive enzymes. These are one of my most favorite supplements out of everything I take, and I truly cannot imagine my life without them. Digestive enzymes are key to break down your food into usable nutrition and to stop things like bloating, digestive distress, constipation, all the things. That's why I created Avalon X Digest. And you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us. You can also get a subscription and save 15%, which you can pause or cancel at any time. Friends, I worked so hard to create the perfect blend of enzymes for Avalon X Digest. It's a full-spectrum, plant-based enzyme blend with proteases to help you break down protein, amylase for carbs, lipase for fats, cellulase for fiber, and so much more. In fact, there are 13 different types of enzymes in this blend. I cannot tell you how many people have told me that when they take Avalon X Digest, they experience no digestive distress with meals. These are truly game changers. And for any of you guys looking to up your protein intake, Avalon X Digest will help you actually break down and assimilate your protein so you get more protein from your meals. I wanted to create the highest potency enzymes so that you get all of these benefits when you eat with no problematic fillers or ingredients. Avalon X Digest is also tested multiple times for purity and potency, comes in glass bottles, and is truly the best enzymes on the market. And again, you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us. Like I said, I mean, listeners, friends, if you're curious, just Google. There's like a lot of Facebook groups and like for ropeworms and hookworms, and you can find people taking this supplement. And I never could get through because they would say you need to go through the whole bottle and like multiple bottles because of the life cycles of the parasites. And I would chicken out like halfway through every time because I just like, I can't, these things are so scary.
Well, one of the things that helps kill the larva faster is clove oil or just cloves. That goes back to Dr. Holda Clark's original parasite program. Cloves and also ozonated olive oil with massive doses of coenzyme Q10, Dr. Clark found would kill the larva and the parasites, the larva and the eggs of the parasites much faster so that you didn't have to endure through many bottles like that to cut their life cycle down. I think the best book of hers to read about parasites, because she did phenomenal work with parasites, it's probably A Cure for All Diseases is the name of the book. Cure for All Diseases by Holda Clark. And another thing you'll gain from this, you'll understand why there are some people who seem to never be able to get rid of parasites. She points it out in the book, and it's very obvious in her research. It's because these people are exposed to benzenes and wood alcohols. And what benzenes and wood alcohols do is they break down the fatty membrane of the parasite egg and allows them to hatch prematurely. So So you it seems like you're just never going to get rid of the parasites. They keep growing. Before you get rid of a whole slew of them, and before you know it, you have a whole new, let's say, society of the adult parasites back again. And that's because their eggs are what's supposed to happen when you ingest something that has parasite eggs or parasite larvae. The acid in your stomach is supposed to kill them before they ever really get into your system and take up shop. But if your stomach acid is low and your biome is off and the pH is not acid enough, your pH is too alkaline throughout your whole intestinal tract, these larvae and eggs are going to hatch and you're going to have parasites.
For vaginal yeast infections, which in the book you actually start by talking about the history of, like, some really interesting, listeners get the book, some really interesting history and in women trying to self-treat things and the legality around that and, you know, rights and the great yogurt conspiracy, et cetera. But if a woman has a vaginal yeast infection, can you have that and not have systemic yeast infection? Like, can it be an isolated incident?
Yes, but that's the minority of the time. This, the criteria would be a woman who goes in the swimming pool and she goes in the pool and then comes out with a yeast infection, and that's rare for her. She's probably just messed up the pH of her vaginal area. The pH has gotten too alkaline and the yeast is growing. If she douches with boric acid, that will probably be the end of it. The person who's chronic, who has a chronic yeast infection, most likely has an overgrowth in the colon. They most likely have your standard chronic candidiasis.
Listeners, get the Candida Chronicles, because we only briefly touched on all the things. There is so much in this book, and it does include the phases and the protocol and so much fascinating information, especially like a deep dive into all the different nutrients, like we mentioned, that, you know, either feed or are neutral or actually are protected with Candida. So yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. Was there anything else you wanted to draw attention to for listeners?
No, but I think what would be a good idea is if I came back on the show again and we talked about testing for Candida, dysbiosis, and all these things, because there's a hell of a lot there that people need to know.
That would be excellent, definitely, because, like, yeah, there's just so much more here.
So we'll have your people get with my people, and we'll set it up.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Again, the book is The Candida Chronicles, A Manual for Candida Yeast Infections. And do you currently take new patients as well?
Yes, we are taking new patients now. People can find us online if they go to the main website, which is health-truth.com. And there are two subsidiary websites we have, the New York City Candida Doctor and the New York City Thyroid Doctor. Now, people always ask me, why do you have a thyroid website if you're into all this biome stuff? Well, the reason why is because Candida heavily affects the thyroid so much that it's worth having a separate website just to go over and explain the relationship between Candida and how it affects the thyroid. And there are also a lot of things about thyroid function that most thyroid experts don't have a clue on because they're not nutritionists and they don't do nutritional testing. It's like most doctors, if you go, I cringe when my patients tell me I went to Park Avenue to the biggest thyroid expert in the world. I just cringe because I know that all that person knows is what happens at the point where either the thyroid medication he's taking enters the bloodstream or the thyroid hormone is produced from his gland and goes into the blood. And after that, he knows nothing about thyroid. He doesn't know anything about thyroid receptor sites. He doesn't know that mercury downregulates thyroid hormone in your receptors. He doesn't know that cortisol downregulates thyroid hormones. He doesn't know anything about thyroid metabolism. See, there's a difference between thyroid when you're talking about the gland and the hormone it produces and the hormone entering your bloodstream. That's one thing. When it comes to the hormone entering the receptor sites, going into your electron transport chain and into your Krebs cycle and then actually working, that's a whole different world that these people know nothing about. And a quick book, it's an old book, but you can find a lot of relevant data is in a book called Hypothyroidism, The Unsuspected Illness, written by a Dr. Broda Barnes. Barnes was the first one that pointed out that if your body temperature is low, you are functionally hypothyroid and it doesn't make a damn what your blood test says.
Wow. Did she originate the temperature testing?
Yes, Broda Barnes did. The person who I consider the current expert on this is Dr. Eric Rind. You can go to his website, Eric Rind. He is a medical doctor, and He is the current expert on using body temperature testing to diagnose thyroid and adrenal function.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Biamonte. This has been absolutely amazing. So the very last question that I ask guests on the show, and it's just because I realize more and more each day the importance of mindset. So what is something that you're grateful for?
The ability to find the truth.
I love that.
And this is still a free country, regardless of what's happened here and there. And I want to tip my hat to RFK Jr. He's one of the bravest people in the world. RFK Jr. is so far ahead of all these other scientists and politicians and these pundits. This man knows, has more truth on the tip of his nose than these people can conceive of. And if all these people would just listen to him, he has spent years and years and years researching all this information. And anything he says, I will believe, because I have taken his books, I've taken all his data, and I've spent hours fact-checking it. It all turns out to be true. And it's all money. It's all about money. I had to say, I almost split a gut laughing when he was arguing with Bernie Sanders, and RFK Jr. pointed out how much money he's taken from the drug companies.
Wow. Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, politics aside, everything he's doing is so incredible health-wise for people. I'm like, why are people, like, where is the controversy here?
Well, the first controversy is that half these politicians are getting so much money from the drug companies to keep vaccines going and they're getting so much money for, like Michelle Obama, for instance, was a lawyer for Big Food. Michelle Obama is responsible for a lot of the horrible foods that are in these schools because they're all heavily processed, and she was a lawyer for those companies. So it's there's politics there, but it all boils down to greed and money. These politicians are being paid millions of dollars to keep drugs there, to keep bad food there, because they have a neat cycle going on. You eat bad, really bad food, you get sick, then you go to the doctor, you get drugs. So everybody's getting paid off. It's keeping everybody, the whole cycle of this business in line. And RFK Jr. is trying to break that cycle, because this country is the most unhealthy country. And compared to the technology and other things we have, we shouldn't be 24th or whatever it is, 27th in world health. That's because of what we're eating and the drugs that we take. I know people who are on 5 or 6 or 7 different prescription medications. You shouldn't be doing that. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. I cannot agree more. So yes, I echo back the gratitude about the ability to find truth. So thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Yes, would love to have you back for part 2 on testing and all the things. And yeah, this was wonderful. So just thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. I enjoyed speaking to you.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information and resources, you can check out my book, What, When, Wine, as well as my supplement line, Avalon X. Please visit melanieavalon.com to learn more about today's guest, and always feel free to contact me at contact@melanieavalon.com. And always remember, you got this.